Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, August 22nd. Over the past couple of weeks, Paonia residents received a letter from the town of Paonia notifying them that the town's water system violated a drinking water requirement. KVNF's Allie Lightfoot spoke with Paonia Town Administrator Ken Knight about the violation.
What happened was we missed a reporting date with the state. All of the tests were done, and at no time was the drinking water for the town compromised. However, we did miss that reporting period. And what we've done since then is we've added a person to the public works staff that allows the public works director to focus on some of his administrative duties. And we've added an office staff, which again has allowed Corinne, the town clerk, to create tickler files to make sure that we don't miss this reporting. But at no time was the drinking water ever compromised, and all of the testing was within our normal parameters for drinking water.
One of the items on this notice that we received in the mail says there's nothing that anyone needs to do about their water at this time. And if there a situation arises where the water is not safe to drink, that we would be notified within 24 hours. How would they notify the whole town within 24 hours?
We do have access to reverse 911, which we can send out. If you've not signed your cell phone up to reverse 911, please do so. But we will also go through town putting door hangers on people's doors and posting this at all conspicuous events.
In the case of the water being contaminated, what are the dangers in that? How would lead get into the water, and what would be the danger of having lead in our water?
Well, lead is very dangerous, but the likelihood of us blowing a lead sample is extremely small, especially since we're replacing the last two lead lines, water distribution lines in the town on Clark and Doris right now. The more likely thing that could happen is if there was a failure at the water treatment plant, that perhaps a bacterial infection could, or an algae bloom could happen if there was some catastrophic failure up at the water plant. But lead is highly unlikely to ever have to get in there. And we certainly will endeavor to make sure that we keep the plants up and running and that we never have a bacterial or an algae bloom as well.
What is it that you do to test the water, and how regularly do you test it?
We take tests and we send it down to the city of Delta, who does our testing for us. And it's a standardized drinking water test that they have a lab down there to do it. And I believe we pull tests every 30 days and send them to Delta.
Sometimes our water, there's some discoloration and odor to the water. Can you explain why that might happen and what we're supposed to do when we see something or smell something like that?
Let your water run. Normally, what causes that is that water is in a dead-end line that is not looped, and that it hasn't had not enough people on that line has used it, so it's set in the distribution pipe for a little bit too long. All water pipes have a certain amount of minor sediment in them, and it can cause what you just described. It's not unsafe, but it is unsightly, and I would let your water run. It also happens sometimes if you haven't used the water in your hot water heater recently, is that that can also cause the same type of situation when you start running your hot water, because the water has gotten a little bit stale.
And I've been speaking with Ken Knight, who's the administrator for the town of Paonia.
Thank you so much. And I do want to say the great water in this town is a compliment to your prior elected officials and your prior employees as well. And I'm just happy to be carrying this forward.
It took a supercomputer a year to compile the data. And now, researchers in Boulder are warning about flooding in some areas of the West becoming more intense and frequent because of rain falling on snowpack as the climate warms. H2O Radio has the details.
The snowpack at high elevations in the West stores water used for drinking, irrigation, recreation, and industry. The snow acts like a reservoir, but if climate change continues at its current pace, rainstorms coming on top of snowpack could increase flooding problems in large areas of the western U.S. and Canada. Keith Musselman of the University of Colorado at Boulder and the Institute of Arctic and Alpine Research recently published a study with his colleagues about rain on snow events. He's a terrestrial hydrologist, and an experience he had in Canada led to his team's recent research.
As part of my training, I was living up in the Banff area, and I witnessed one of the larger rain on snow flood events in Canadian history. And there was a substantial destruction of property, and there were lives lost. And as a hydrologist and a trained civil engineer, I recognized the challenges that we face with these rain on snow flood events, challenges in how difficult they are to predict and how poorly understood they are generally.
The June 2013 flood around Banff and Calgary was the largest that area had seen in more than 80 years. 5 died and $6 billion Canadian in damage, all due to heavy rainfall on melting snowpack in the Rockies. And more recently in 2017, a rain-on-snow event caused the evacuation of more than 180,000 people near the Oroville Dam in California over fears it could fail. The researchers noticed a gap in the current understanding about these rain-on-snow events.
We, as hydrologists and flood forecasters, reservoir managers, we lack information about how much water is going to come down the pike, come down our rivers and into our reservoirs, given a forecasted rain event.
Presently, forecasters can tell when a rainstorm is coming in, but they don't know how it's going to affect the snow on the ground and how it will affect downstream reservoirs. To begin to understand rain-on-snow events, Musselman and his colleagues looked at data developed at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. They used NCAR's Yellowstone supercomputer to compile the information, which took a year. They also ran simulations with a warmer future based upon climate trends and assumed no change in policies about carbon emissions. And the results?
I was a little surprised as to how these flood regimes shifted. And by shifting, I mean, how do they shift in the frequency and the intensity and the total flood volume?
In fact, in some regions, the models show a more than doubling and tripling of flood volumes with a warmer climate.
And that was quite astounding.
The areas that could be affected the most are the Colorado River headwaters in Wyoming, Utah, and Colorado, the Sierra Nevada, and the Canadian Rockies. Musselman and his colleagues hope that their research will help assess risks in the future as climate change shifts both the timing and severity of future flood events. For H2O Radio, I'm Jamie Sudler.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, August 22nd. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.